Hi everyone, and welcome to Forest.chat, where we talk about individual endeavour in Western Australia, what it takes, what it means, and how you do it. I'm your host, Paul Vandermeer, and in today's episode, we'll be talking to Wendy Rudge about being an author. Wendy's undertaking a five-year apprenticeship to become a published author. Welcome to Forest.chat, Wendy.
Hi, Paul. Thanks for having me. Really thrilled to be here with you on Forest.chat.
It's great to have you here, Wendy. Books are something we see from a very early age, and there is a huge range of books available for all ages. Can you talk about how you plan to have your book published?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, Paul. It's a bit like how long's a piece of string. How you go about having your book published. There's a lot to think about it. And in the age of self-published and AI and how accessible it is to create content, the challenge to get something published is getting the market is getting smaller and smaller all the time. But my journey to get published started a very long time ago. I wrote as a small child, I wrote as an adult, but I, you know, fast forward 35 something years, I decided around about 5 or 6 years ago to actually have a really good kick at having something published. So with there being so many challenges and so many people wanting to have their books published, to get something traditionally published, that is where you submit it to a publisher, they take it on board and then they publish it on your behalf. Your book doesn't have to be just good, it needs to be great. In fact, it probably needs to be exceptional. So to go from a good read to a great read to an exceptional read, there's a bit of a journey that you need to go on to get your writing to that level. So what I've done is essentially, like you said, I've been on a five-year apprenticeship trying to really hone my craft of not only writing well, but writing very well. And it takes a lot of tenacity and a lot of self-belief in your writing to actually stick with it, because there are so many challenges. And with having no deadlines and having life go on at the same time, to remain focused over a long period of time as you hone your craft and get it to a point where you think that someone will publish it can be a very long journey for some of us. If you're super lucky, you might have someone pick up something early, but if you're like the rest of us, it does take a number of years, perhaps even longer, before your content is ready for somebody else to invest. You. And they do need to invest a certain amount of money and faith in you that your book will sell, because, you know, to be traditionally published means that there's a commercial element to it. And of course, if someone's going to take that risk on you, they need to have a return on their investment. So then you need to make sure your work is top notch. So for me, it was about wanting to make myself better than what I am. So it was I've done lots of courses, lots of study, lots of self-reflection on, you know, what my strengths are and where I need to improve. Sharing your work with other people is really super important, but it's also feels like you're stripping yourself back and handing over a child and allowing other people to critique it. And that's quite a challenge, is having enough faith in your work to go, I have this thing, I want to make it better, can you please take it and give me your opinion? That's quite challenging to actually ask people to do that for you.
Yes, it takes quite a bit to look at somebody else's work and also provide, I'll say, relevant feedback. It can be very easy to jump into the little details and say, you know, you missed a bit of grammar there, but I think you're looking for something quite different to that sort of feedback.
Yeah, often you are. You're looking at the bigger picture stuff, is what doesn't work, what works well. Tell me about the pacing. Tell me about the plot. Tell me about character development. And often people are not necessarily look at books that way. And I think once you study books, it's a bit like when you study movies, you're then spoilt for movies moving forward when you're picking out bits and pieces like, oh, they didn't do that properly, or they didn't do that, or the lighting wasn't right there and the audio wasn't right there. I think the same is with books. We read books to enjoy books, not necessarily to pull them apart and critique them. So to find people that will do that for you can be challenging as well. But that sits along a whole raft of personal qualities that you need to have over a long period of time. And, you know, publishers are not looking for one-hit wonders. They want people that are sustained, that can be a part of this community and this industry over a long period of time. So, you know, it's a triple marathon that you're running, to not only for yourself but to prove to other people that, yes, you are in it for the long haul, and for someone to actually take a chance on you.
Yeah, and it's that business decision sits behind all of that. Writing and how you, what you target in your stories, I guess, and also the link that you can create between one book and the next, because you're talking about, you know, they want you to have a string of books rather than just the one.
Sure. And they, you know, depending on the genre that you write in, the trilogy is sort of the sweet spot for a lot of publishers. It's not to say that standalone books don't sell very well as well, but if you're getting a readership and they love your first book, or they love the characters in the first book, they'll be looking for a second and perhaps a third. So to be able to sustain that writing over a period of time, it's taken me 5 years to get where I am now with my first novel, having had some speed bumps along the way. And I think once you start opening yourself to that creativity, other things come into play. So alongside the novel that I'm writing, I've developed a synopsis for around about another 15 books, from picture books to contemporary women's fiction along the way. So it's trying to remain sort of singularly focused on that novel, documenting that thought and then moving on, rather than diverting, you know, singly focused from driving from here to Sydney, not then taking the route that's going to take me via Darwin. So that can be a challenge as well, is because, you know, sometimes you feel like a little bit of a butterfly and you flit here and you flit there. Nothing gets finished at the end of the day, and, you know, a book is not a book until it's finished.
Yeah, so there's a lot of personal qualities in there that about keeping going, staying on track, and just getting in and doing it, dedication to the job. That's a big element by the sound of things.
Yeah, unfortunately, this book just don't write themselves. And my current manuscript sits at about 82,000 words. And, you know, I've bled probably every single one of those words over the last 5 years. And to continue to maintain that line over a long period of time and have faith in that work is quite a challenge at times. You do dip in and out of doubting that your work is any good, that anyone's going to like your story, that the writing is any good. And I think, you know, and there's also times where, you know, I just sit and look at a screen for a day because I'm thinking. And so just having that time to be able to think is important as well, and to be able to join lots and lots of dots.
So do you have something in the background that helps you connect the dots, or is it all within your memory?
It's, well, you know, I use a software program called Scrivener that is one traditionally is good for any sort of long form writing. So if you had long reports or stories are great because it allows you to document your work in different folders and categories and then move that around very easily, rather than like a program like Word, although I know a lot of authors swear by Word. That helps. I also listen to a few podcasts. And I also am a big fan of Audible, and traveling to and from work, I listen to not necessarily self-help books, but books about creative writing, and they will often spur an idea where I'm having to pull over the side of the road to take some notes. Some days it takes me an hour to drive to work because I'm busy on the side of the road scribbling notes. So I think it's a combination of things.
It takes a lot of working out just what the story will be. It's a little bit like putting the podcast together in some ways. You've got to have some sort of plan to work to. How detailed do you get into your plans?
Yeah, that's another interesting question. And, you know, they big picture stuff, people say you're either a painter or a plotter. And a plotter is someone that sort of nuts out the whole, you know, the map of where you're going, or a pantser just opens the laptop and sees where the conversation takes them. I think probably, well, myself, I'm a bit of both. I had a story in mind, so this novel that I'm writing at the moment. I had an idea in mind, just a seed of an idea, and played with that a little bit, sat on it for a while. And as I thought more about it, conversations started happening in my head with different characters. And I could see a paragraph and thinking, oh, that's got to happen about two-thirds of the way through the book. Or that conversation actually is not even going to happen till book two. So I felt like I was discovering pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. Although I had a rough idea of where I thought the book was going to go, I felt I was finding these pieces of jigsaw puzzles that I put in and then thought, okay, now I'm missing some pieces. Now I have to sit down and really work hard to join those pieces together. And in a way that made sense, that was believable and sat within the premise of the story. And that can be quite hard, where you think, I've got no idea. I've got nothing. I don't know why he said that or why she wanted to go there. How does that now go to the next step? I went away for 3 weeks last year and spent some time down in Baillinger, which was just beautiful, just on a writer's retreat, a self-imposed writer's retreat, and having no one around to talk to. I did a lot of brainstorming in my own head, which was fun. But I would start with a word on a page, and anything, you know, like a brainstorm, anything that came to mind, I wrote and would fill pages and pages of this brainstorming. And sometimes it's 3 or 4 pages. And then it's like, oh my stars, that's it. That's going to connect the dots. So it's really pushing your own mind to solve those problems, and not saying no to anything, you know, which is, you know, in that brainstorming sort of philosophy. Sometimes it's sleeping on things. And in the morning I'll think, huh, that was it. And I think it's just being open to ideas and not discounting anything until you've really worked through them and like, yeah, that's not going to work. But you might be able to take a seed of that and think, okay, I'm going to take that, but I'm going to put it over here and see what happens over there.
So there's a lot of creativity bubbling up to the surface there, and sounds like you've used a number of different tactics to keep your creativity moving along.
Yeah, and look, I'm not afraid to ask. You know, other writers, other people in my writing sphere, what do you think about this, or how do you think that might have happened? Because they bring a different perspective, and you're not necessarily taking that perspective, but that can offer trigger an idea in your own head. I had someone look at it the other week, and she said, "Yeah, I like this, but in the middle, I'm a bit concerned about what happens here, because when you get to the end, the payoff doesn't seem quite right. So what else could you do in the middle that might make the payoff at the end bigger?" So I went away and had a think about it, and, you know, came up with something that's just made the book that much stronger. And I don't think, had she not questioned that bit in the middle, would I have thought about a change to that part of the story, which then impacted on the end to make the end, you know, more bang for your bucks.
There's a lot of moving pieces.
There is. And they say, you know, it takes a community to raise a child. It certainly takes a community to raise a book baby. Lots of work involved, lots of heads in it. And a challenge is not comparing my manuscript to what I'm seeing on a shelf, because often that's passed through dozens and dozens of hands before it's got to that, you know, that point where it's a bit like, you know, comparing my ingredients that sit on the table with a cake that's already been baked. They're not going to be the same because they're not the same. I'm not comparing apples with orange, you know, apples with oranges. Apples with apples, it's apples with oranges. And it's trying to be fair to myself and not be hypercritical of myself when you're not comparing the same thing.
I think it could be very easy to be critical of yourself. So you must have some optimism.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if you believe in your story and you think that there's really something there, also having other people hear your story and for them to go, sounds great. Also people that are not your family or your friends, because they're going to love it regardless. And I can't do it based on the fact that Nana liked it or, you know, Auntie Jean thought it was a great read. I'm been fortunate to be a part of a writers group, and I'm doing a mentorship at the moment with a wonderful West Australian author called Sasha Wosley. And having people independent of my family that I don't really know that give me some great feedback, gives me hope that the story's got some legs to it. And I think you need that for your own sanity, that the last sort of 1,000 hours that you've sat in front of a typewriter or a computer has actually has got some payoff. But I think at the end of the day, if you are sitting down in front of a computer for the right reasons, if my novel doesn't end up being published, I will still have great reward in the fact that I actually finished it. And I think that for me is massive. I have a legacy to leave behind for my children. I have created a world that never existed and people that never existed that in our family we talk about. What do you think Sam would have done today, or what would you think Willow would have said to that? And they're people on a page, but they've become 3D to us. So, you know, I think if you have your end goal in mind, that it doesn't necessarily have to be published, because it's published in your own head. And I think sometimes if you go into it, anything more than that is a bonus.
What you're describing there actually is also getting into the next question that we talk about, is what does this all mean? Clearly there is a lot of engagement that you have, but it also brings in your family and it brings in people outside your family, just the process that you're going through. So let's explore a little bit about the meaning of what does it mean to be a writer. So what are you getting out of it from the perspective of, you know, how it's, I'll say, helping you through the world? Or
okay, yeah, yeah. Another interesting question. There's a couple of parts to that. Is what does it mean for me personally? You know, it's a bit like someone that could never run, as in me. Doing a marathon, running the Boston Marathon, or making it even across the bridges in the HBF Run for a Reason, to have that sense of accomplishment, to do something that's way outside your comfort zone that you never thought possible, to be able to achieve that, I think is a massive thing for you as an individual. You know, personally, I think that that sense of achievement you can take your whole life and think that if I can show my family that I can put myself outside my comfort zone, and my children, that if you want something badly enough and you're prepared to work for that, then you'll see the end of it. And for me to be able to have that manuscript in my hand and say, this was never invented before me. These people, this universe, this whole world never existed anywhere but in my head. Sometimes that's a bit scary to unpick that, but that's another story. But to have that sense of accomplishment is huge as far as I'm concerned. So I think that's something that you can always, you know, take forward. From a family perspective, we explore family dynamics in it, and it allows me to learn about families in a different way, and perhaps I can reflect that in my own family, which is always helpful if it's giving you more skills to manage with your own family. But I think to be able to give something to the community that brings them joy, that brings them a new perspective, and enriches their life, even from a literary perspective, I think is a great thing as well, for people to be able to say, I was inspired by that story, or it made a difference in my life, or when I was feeling really low, I read that story and it made me feel better. I think that gives you reason to want to move forward as well, and gives you more impetus to want to finish or start another one and continue to be able to share those sorts of feelings with the world.
It's amazing how far things reach when you start a project and you go, it's me doing this. But then as you go, you find more and more people become involved and become engaged. How have you found that process?
Interesting. You know, I didn't tell a lot of people that I was writing in the beginning, because what if I failed? What if I didn't do it? How do I look in their eyes? You know, I'm a starter, but I'm not a finisher. But I think once you're brave enough to tell a few people, people are actually excited for you. And most people say, I've got a book inside me, but I don't know where to start. I don't know how to do it. And I didn't know where to start. I didn't know how to do it either, but it was rolling the sleeves up and learning and having a go and falling down and getting up again and falling down and getting up again. And I think now enough people are so supportive. They're all now asking, how's it going? You know, where you at? Can we read something? And I'm like, no, you can't read anything yet. But what it keeps me honest now that I have committed to this and I have told people and that I want to see this through. So their support is almost like a community wave behind me. It's going to carry me through, albeit that they can't actually put the words on the page themselves. But I want to show them that I can actually finish. And I want them to be proud. A lot of people are very proud of what I've done already, but I want them to be proud of me as well as I want to be proud of myself to get it to its end point.
You experience lots of motivation when you connect to your purpose. Let's look at how you turn that motivation into traction next. Being an author has real purpose and can be very rewarding. The motivation it gives you needs action, but there is a bewildering set of possibilities for getting published. What are the key things you do, Wendy, to get published?
Some things that everybody really should do. Obviously, you've got to have a story. But when you to get you to that end, having a writer's group, having like-minded people around you is very, very important to have people to bounce things off, to be able to get them to read parts of your story, to be able to get you through the tough times and to continue to lift you as you carry through. I try and write at least 3 or 4 times a week. And I have a regular writing session with my sister, and we write for 5 hours every Tuesday night. And she's a self-published author herself. So she's just about to release her second, and she's halfway through the manuscript for her third. Having those people around you is so important, because it is a lonely job sitting in front of a keyboard writing, that you need to connect with other human beings. And it's over and above your family, because whilst your family are supportive, they're not necessarily in that headspace of what another writer can do for you and have that empathy for you and understand what you're going through. And at the very end of where you have your manuscript, it's the best manuscript it can be. Well, then there's the formalities of, you know, looking for a publisher, looking for who's taking unsolicited manuscripts, writing your query letters, perhaps if you feel you need to get an agent, is reaching out to agents, and just generally getting the book out there in front of as many people as you can to give you either critique or look at the manuscript at the end of the day.
There's a few different people get involved.
Oh, there sure is. Yeah, there is. It's certainly a community of people that wrap themselves around a single book.
You see that in the front of many books where you see the what do they call that section where you've got the...
Or the thanks. Yeah, so there's quite a lot of people involved, and that process can be quite drawn out, that very end part. So, you know, I've written a couple of picture books, and a couple of the publishers are saying they're looking at their list for 2027. It's not a industry that moves fast. It's very much a slow burn.
Its history sort of points to that, especially with old-style printing presses and that sort of thing, and not having the communication capabilities we have these days to push the content around. You know, you'd be posting something out, I guess, to different parts of the business. That's very interesting that they still have those very long cycles of, but I guess also they have multiple people look at the manuscripts as well.
Yeah, so at the moment I have a manuscript in front of a publisher in the East Coast, and so once that person is interested and takes the manuscript, she then needs to take it to their acquisitions team. So she's inside a business, got to sell it to another part of the business, and they will look at it from a marketing perspective, perhaps from a sales perspective, and see whether or not they think the book's got legs to be able to take on board. So you've got a lot of hoops to jump and gates to, you know, go through to get to a point where they'll say, you know, yes, we'll take your book.
I guess you mentioned earlier that there's a bit of competition to do that as well. Can you Do you have some concept of what the competition is in that space?
Look, I don't have any, you know, hard and fast stats, but I do know that from a picture book perspective, you know, everyone says, I can write a picture book, it's only 500 words. But, you know, it's the difference between a good book and a great book and an exceptional book. I think probably, you know, only about 1% to 2% of all picture books that are pitched actually are traditionally published in Australia. So the market, there's lots of people out there writing, which is absolutely fabulous because it just means that the word is still alive. It's not, we're not all on our phones scrolling through TikTok. People want to read. People want to see good stories. They want to read beautiful literature, which is really, really heartening. But the percentage of people actually being traditionally published, I think, is quite small. So like I said, you know, the difference between a good book and an exceptional book is where you need to be to find a home somewhere in a traditional publisher.
All right. And what sort of effort does it take to get into a publisher's radar?
So there's a couple of ways. So, a lot of publishers will open their books at certain times through the year. Others are closed for the 12 months of the year because their stable of books is already full. And that is often where they have agents that come to them and pitch books to them. So they don't need to open their books. So if you find that there is a publisher that's open and you submit your book and it goes into the slush pile, but some publishers prefer to call it the treasure pile because, you know, if they sift through it and they find a treasure there occasionally, that's nice. But some publishers run competitions where you submit your work and they pick their best through competitions. And a lot of publishers now attend conferences. And when you go to a conference and you meet people or you have your manuscript assessed there, that's where other publishers are also looking for publishable material there. Going to a conference means you're keen, you want to learn, you're interested in honing your craft and improving your skills, and it gives you the opportunity to meet a publisher, talk about your book in a really safe environment and get them to give you some feedback, which I've done over the last 3 or 4 years. I'm off to Queensland in July to a conference, which will be my fourth conference for the Children and Young Adults Conference. And I'm hoping to meet with some publishers there and talk about some manuscripts. So they're all different ways that you can get your work in front of a publisher.
So that's quite a big investment to be heading off to conferences and that sort of thing. How long are those conferences?
Well, this one is a 3-day. It's 3 Saturdays, but for the first day there, you can either join virtually or you can join in person. And I figured this is my fourth conference that I would like to go and meet people in person and just for the first one and then fly home, and then the next 2 Saturdays are virtual ones.
Right. So you do one of the 3 days in person, so
yeah,
you can get to talk with people.
Yeah. And in fact, on my very first conference 4 years ago, I listened to a speaker and he said, you have to spend money as an author. There is just no way around it. Whether or not it's being paying for editorial services or for beta readers or for some other service in respect to the actual development of the manuscript, you would be a very unique person that hasn't had to put their hand in their pocket in some description and get a manuscript from start to the hands of a publisher.
So there's a big, big commitment from you, like all the time that you talk about, the learning process that you've gone through and the financial commitment to do that, but also the emotional commitment that you've put into place. That's massive.
That's right. It's very much a multi-level investment. And I think at the end of the day is you need to keep your eye on the prize. And the prize is what do you want out of this? And this writing gives me such joy. And I'm often sitting here in my little library laughing to myself, thinking I'm so clever because I've written a great line. But the joy I get out of that is what life is about, is finding moments of joy, because life can be pretty tough for us. And so I can escape into this world where I'm the king because I dictate how the world runs. And I think there's a nice sense of power involved in that, that I get to, you know, say whose head goes off and who gets saved at the end of the day. But I think the joy, we have to hang on to those joyful moments. And this does bring me great joy.
That's fantastic to hear, Wendy. Thank you for sharing your experience as an author, Wendy. From all Forest.chat listeners, we wish you all the best with your future endeavours.
Thanks for having me on Forest.chat, Paul. I'm really thrilled to be here and loved the sharing this time with you.
Thank you, Wendy. You've been listening to Forest.chat, where we talk about individual endeavour in Western Australia, what it takes, what it means, how you do it. I'm your host, Paul Vandermeer, and in today's episode, we talked with Wendy Rudge about being an author. Remember, there are four ways you can get involved with Forest.chat. Share the domain Forest.chat with your friends and family and people you meet. Listen to the published episodes at forest.chat/episodes. Book an interview at forest.chat/interview. Book an advert at forest.chat/advert. I'm looking forward to joining you with our next interview. Until next time, enjoy making it happen.